So do you see why it's so important to make sure that our belief system is based upon the Bible? Well, that's what we want to do. Is heaven real? We know that it is. By faith, we can accept the biblical view of what heaven. Now, we may not have a whole lot of hard evidence for heaven, but through faith, we don't need the hard evidence. What we do, we accept it by faith. Now, one of the biggest barriers to accepting heaven is to accept the fact that there is life after this life. I have a very good friend by the name of Owen up in Queensland that he is now a godly man and really, really following the Lord full on. But, you know, he worked in a laboratory and his mind was such that, Tony, I see, I believe what I can see. One of the godliest men that you could ever hope, but he was not a Christian. And, you know, prayed for him, talked to him, fellowshipped with him, went and played golf with him. For 5 years, this very good man with a Christian family just couldn't, as he said, I cannot take that leap of faith from reality into something I can't see. It's an honest statement. Then one day, on the 11th hole of a golf course, Owen decided with tears in his eyes to bow his head and take that leap of faith. He invited Jesus into his life and became a Christian. I think the golf game went downhill at that point. But Owen got saved. But the truth of the matter is, folks, a lot of people struggle accepting something they can't see. Now, there's a lot of skeptics around, and I'm going to give you a little bit of evidence to help you with the skeptics. Now, perhaps you're a little bit skeptical today yourself. Recently, I read of one man who was a Christian academic, and he has assimilated all the stories of people who have had after-death experiences, for whatever reason. And he said there's 300 of those experiences throughout the world that he is able to assimilate. And the thing about it is, most of them are very, very similar. So the truth, according to that evidence of 300 people, is that, in fact, there is something more than this life. Just stop with that. We won't go any further. But there's a little bit of truth for skeptics that 300 people have experienced that. So that says there is life after this one. What is it? Well, that's where you get into sharing your biblical truth. So the evidence is there is life after death. And we believe, for the Christian, it's heaven. And for us, there's another really important bit of evidence. It's spoken by somebody we really respect. His name is Jesus. And Ken quoted him just a minute, John chapter 14. Let me read this to you. Jesus said this, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where you go, where I go, you know, and the way you know." So Jesus said, in the Father's house, where God is, there's many mansions. It sounds all right to me. I've never lived in a mansion, have you? So, you know, that's a pretty good promise from Jesus. But sometimes we allow our thinking to be controlled by other sources rather than the Bible. Let me give you an example. Anybody ever watched Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments? I watched that over and over and over, and boy, I was just enamored. You know, at the time, the special effects were outstanding then. Now we laugh at them. But, you know, it was just amazing. But it was years and years later till I found out that it wasn't necessarily biblical. So I had to get into the Bible and change my theology away from what Cecil B. DeMille presented, you know? And we can do that in movies that we watch. So we need to make sure that we're really Bible-based in all the stories, all the things that we believe. So we need to be careful. So what is heaven? BJ just read it to us. Let me read it to you again. Revelation 21. I want you to hear this. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them, and they and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. I want you to focus on verse 5. Behold, I make all things new. Let that run in your head for a while, okay? So let's unpack what this heaven's going to be like. First, our forever dwelling place will be the new heavens and the new earth. The old heaven and earth are done away with. Think about that. The things that we see now are all gone, and it's all been remade. It's all been recreated. Hey, he even says the sea or the ocean will be gone, so I don't think we're going to be doing any deep sea fishing at that time, because the sea's going to be gone. That's all right, though. We're all going to be vegetarians at that time, I think. That's all right. You'll get used to it. I'm not that now, but I think we'll be that when we get there. Then something new enters the picture. On this new earth and from the new heaven, the new Jerusalem will arise. We can spend a lot of time on the new Jerusalem. We'll not do that. But there's just one thing that I want to tell you about this magnificent sight. Can you imagine seeing this huge city coming down out of the sky? And this city is 2,221 kilometers wide, long, and deep. Well, how far is that? It's within 3 kilometers of from Sydney to Auckland, New Zealand. And then if you want to go north, go from there about towards Cairns, okay? Can you imagine that the New Jerusalem will cover the Tasman Sea? Not only is it that big, but it's that much high. That's our eternal place to live. You excited yet? There should be a lot of mansions in a place that... Now, some mathematician crunched the numbers and come up with how many people could live there, and I can't remember what it is, but it was so big, it's hard for me to remember anyway. But this would be an awesome thought to see this New Jerusalem coming down. It'll be a wonderful city. Gates of pearl, streets of gold, walls of jasper. Wow. But we'll move on. I can hear a question rising from longtime Christians, though. Isn't heaven supposed to be a spiritual world rather than a physical world? No. You see, the new heavens and the new earth is going to be visible, touchable, smellable, livable, enjoyable. Well, you might say that's not very spiritual. You can't be more spiritual than God. If God says it's real, it's real. So folks, that's the vision that we need in our minds. But I want to give you just one more, and I'm just about done. One more thing. Some more evidence that heaven is going to be a real place. And we're going to go to what's known as the oldest book in the entire Bible. We'll go to the book of Job. Job chapter 19. Of course, we all know what Job went through, right? You and I have not suffered what Job has suffered. But he's going to make a comment here I want you to pay attention to. Verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. My skin is destroyed, and in my flesh I shall see God. Well, how do you do that? Be here next week and I'll tell you. I'm going to continue reading. Verse 27. Then in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself. And my eyes shall behold, and not another, how my heart yearns within me. That's how we should feel for heaven. Our hearts should yearn for heaven. The Apostle Paul said, kind of torn, this is Tony's translation, I have a desire to go on and be with the Lord. His heart was yearning for something else. He said, but if it's needful, I'll stay here. That's how we should feel about our eternal home, a yearning for that. How's that going to happen? How are we going to get from where we are and who we are and to what we're going to be? Next week. We'll talk about it next week. There is a huge event that's going to take place. And we're going to focus on that next week. So please stand. Thanks again, BJ, for reading the scriptures for us this morning. Perhaps you're here today and you don't know for sure that heaven is your home. Despite what our culture tells us, there's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes into the Father except by me. He said, I am the door. I am the door to the sheepfold. He is the one who is our Savior and our guide and our teacher. He is the only way. If you would like to come through the door that Jesus provided, let me know. I'd like to take the scriptures and show you how you can know for sure. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the promise of heaven. And thank you that heaven can be so real that it motivates everything that we do. So, Father, help us to grasp that. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Matt.